The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Quite right, too. Phil Dennis, obviously, in Los Angeles, soaking up the sun in every sense of the word. I have to point out that Holly Parker is with us. She's just outside the studio. So if you could kindly actually go and press the green button, then
I
she might be able to.
That's
wonderful. This is great stuff. And in betwixt times, we'll fill and we'll keep that sort of secret birthday surprise just for a few seconds, because Annette Andre, clearly it's a delight genuinely to actually have you in the studio this side of the Atlantic. What are your initial thoughts? Are we what you were expecting after all those months and years we've worked together doing those audio connections at the other end of a telephone, etc.? Is it living up back to expectations?
Oh, it's better.
Oh.
Yes, I don't know. Well, it's very hard, you know, when you're sitting on the other side of the world and you're imagining, and yes, I look at Facebook and I see a lot of photographs, but they're all a lot of people.
A lot of people.
So you never quite know.
Who the heck these people are? I don't know.
It's no, strolling. I think you've got an amazing setup here, and so far I've met Emma, who is lovely.
Thank you.
And you're about to meet Holly, who's also lovely.
Hello,
Holly. And was very impressed to actually sort of, you finally, Holly, yes, it is the very, it's Jeannie Hopkirk from Randall and Hopkirk.
Oh,
dear.
Can you get through?
Sorts of exciting things there. Currently, Cameron, in case you're wondering, we're just rearranging the furniture, which always good. I mean, Holly is from York, so it's what she does. Welcome stuff. So brilliant stuff there. So far, so good is what we're saying.
Oh, so far, so good. Very much, yes.
That's very positive. Okay, moving on. Cameron, before we actually go birthday crazy, somebody's birthday. Is it Holly's? Is it the mild mannered janitor Henry? Could be, except we don't have a mild mannered janitor.
No, I don't think so.
It's a kung fu reference, really. Hong Kong fooey. Let's move straight into your musical choice for today, because it's another interesting one that addresses all sorts of wonderful magical things. Cameron, would you like to share with Annette and the crew, and of course the Midweek Drive setup here at 4 minutes and 10 seconds past 5 o'clock UK time, what we're about to listen to today? Annette, this is a chance. It's a bit like Jukebox Jury, really. You know, about a little series.
Oh, yes.
Very much. So you have a chance to listen to a piece of music and decide, is it a hit? Is it a miss? Is it a maybe?
Oh, can I say that?
Cameron, can she say that?
Hit or miss?
Well, I'll have to reach through the phone and, you know, smack. But yeah. I'm hoping, because I really think this is a great song, and I think we're going to have hits all the way around on this.
All right, Cameron, over to you. Introduce Mr. Reddy, please. No relation to Helen.
No, he's not going to sing I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. This is a guy named Quentin Reddy, and he's from Canada, probably closer to you than I am right now, because he's from originally Newfoundland. And he wrote his first song when he was 7 years old. He taught himself guitar by age 9. He's landed a couple of spots on CMT singing competitions, big in a small town. Last year and the year before, 2012 and 2013, he had nominations for Male Vocalist and Fan Choice at the Association of Country Music in Alberta Awards. He's really making waves in Canada, and we're kind of hoping for big things for him worldwide. His name is Quentin Reddy, and this is his song, Moonlight Ride, on Siren FM.
Do declare, a touch of the fiddle. Marvellous. Quentin Reddy and Moonlight. Okay, well, jury isn't out. It's come back in. And Holly Parker, what do you make of Quentin Reddy?
I really like that fade out at the end. I like that when you mentioned the fiddle and the guitar. Yeah.
Very good fade out, Cameron. This is sounding good. Okay, and Emma.
I thought it was very Nashville-esque, if that's a thing.
It is now.
Sort of folk rock, kind
of. You coined that phrase, Nashville-esque.
It's now a thing, genre.
Or a thang, perhaps.
A thang.
Dang, that thang. Annette Andre.
Well, as there was another show in the 60s where they said, I'll give it five. So I'll give it five.
Yes. It'll grow on us. I think it's one of those things, Cameron. You bring these things around, and sometimes we think we just need to let it breathe a bit. Just need to let it breathe a little bit more, and then like fine wine, it might sort of work our way. But yeah, exactly. Meanwhile,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Dear Cameron Tilbury,
happy birthday to you.
And many more. There we are.
Happy birthday.
Exactly. Happy birthday from...
What? From
Emma Timpson.
Oh, from Emma Timpson.
Exactly. And...
How can I forget my name?
And...
And Annette Andre.
There you are. Happy birthday to you, Cameron Tilbury.
Thank you very much.
A week after Katie Griveson and a day before Natalie Tuck. Amazing. Still, there we are.
How are you going to spend the rest of your day, Cameron?
Ooh. Working. Just stuff to do. Went out for a few drinks with friends last night, but it's just kind of a normal day.
But you've got a doggy there, you know. I mean, the dog's obviously happy from that point of view. So that's always good news.
Yes, but we've had rain for almost a week and a half, so she's a little stir crazy. I'm a little stir crazy.
Well, you know what to do when you're stir crazy. Just download previous podcasts of the Midweek Drive to your computer, and then that'll keep you entertained. Yeah,
there you go. That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, there you go, indeed. Okay, moving on. Doo-wop, Cameron. Have you got any sort of thoughts on the genre of doo-wop? Because, Annette, you've reintroduced me to this fantastic line here. And
I know.
Something I feel Cameron Tilbury's MapleStar Music and Media is maybe just lacking it, really.
Do you know about doo-wop and sha-na-na?
Yep. Yes, I sha-na-na opened the Woodstock Festival back in the 60s. A few people know that. They had a TV series. They were all incredible musicians. I actually saw them play in Toronto, and I think there was about 9 or 10 of them in the band at the time.
Right.
And they all switched each other's instruments and you know, moved around. And they were, they I think because of the genre they were in and the TV show really made them look kind of stupid, but they were huge. They were incredible talents.
They were, and the musicianship was absolutely wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Yeah. And it was also upbeat, you know, it was lovely, and the doo-wop as well. It was really upbeat, and with a lot of musical talent.
Yeah, so, I was amazed when I saw them, they could just, you know, song ends and they all just rotate around and switch to each other's instruments.
You were saying, Annette, it's the way they spun round that's just, just. But we don't have the sha-na-na, Dan, for you today. We do, however, have Leapy Lee with Little Arrows. I'll say that again, Holly. Leapy Lee with Little Arrows.
Yes.
Has that ever crossed your...
I am looking forward to being introduced to this.
See, now... I had a Leapy Lee once and went to the doctor, a little antibiotics, and it cleared it right up.
Okay, it's birthday time, so you're allowed at least one sort of stab at humour, you know. We build on that whole thing. Emma, are you ready for Leapy Lee and Little Arrows?
I'm very prepared. Well, I don't know how prepared.
How prepared can you be? Let's face it, you know, in terms of...
I'm intrigued to find out what it's going to be
very
like.
Very much. It'll take us
around. It's also always good to have something new.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, food for thought.
Always. Always. But would you like to bowl those last two questions to Cameron Tilbury, please?
Yes, Emma? Of course. Cameron, have you enjoyed your time on the show today?
I have. Thank you.
And will you be joining us again next week?
I'll be back next Wednesday, same time, hopefully same place.
Fantastic.
Cameron, I'm going to give you one little birthday task to actually do now, because you do these intros so splendidly. Given that it's Annette Andre's first debut in the studio here for the Midweek Drive, would you like to dedicate this next record, which we know what it is, Leapy Lee, Little Arrows, would you like to dedicate this specially to Annette in your fantastic Canadian presenter's voice? Over to you.
All right, let's see. I have to remember all this stuff. Annette, this one's for you. This is Leapy Lee and... The Arrows or something.
Little Arrows.
On Siren FM.
You see, that's the importance of a good rehearsal, folks.
There's a boy, a little boy, shooting arrows in the blue, and he's aiming them at someone, but the question is, who's in your hair? When you're in love, you'll
Well, I've got to say, it looks as though it's an Annette Andre winner. Do you think so? Yay! Little Arrows and Leapy Lee. Mind you, little arrows in your hair could be very dangerous, if not sort of painful. However, to address that, a gentleman who's been through the crucible of time, space, and a whole range of things. When we last spoke to him live on the Midweek Drive, he was the deputy editor. Very august position, but still deputy editor of SFX magazine. Now Emma Timpson. What is the joy that is Richard Edwards? What has he become?
He has become the chief editor.
He has become the chief editor.
I don't know if chief is really in the title, but...
As in Little Arrows.
Makes it sound grander.
It always grab Bath's finest Richard Edwards. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Welcome. He's just such a nice, wonderful all right person. Now, Richard, I know you are equally fascinated when we talk about telefantasy, and surely any telefantasy or Hall of Fame would be incomplete without the legend that is Annette Andre, the original genie from Randall and Hopcock deceased. And indeed, the only person to star not one, not two, not three, five Adventures of the Saint with Roger Moore, including something which I think, if you've never featured it in SFX, I don't think you have, The House on Dragon's Rock, where Simon Templar goes head-to-head with giant ants.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, one giant ant. Now, that's what I call telefantasy, Richard.
Yes. It depends on the sort of degree of the giantness, though. I mean, if we're talking, size of a thumb...
Oh, they were huge.
Size of a hand.
Oh, definitely huge. Yes, he had me trapped against a rock. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. But your character, Annette, I believe, is Carmen, the brave assistant.
Was it Carmen? It was Carmen, that's right. I was Carmen.
Yes. Yeah, you bravely actually turned the dial up.
I did. Did I kill them? I can't remember.
You suddenly gave her a very big headache.
Oh, I did. That's right.
In the end, yourself and Simon Temple obviously went down
that's
and poured right. gasoline over the eggs.
Over the eggs,
exactly.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, that was all you needed, really. It was set in Wales, so what else could I say? Anyway, we'll move on there. But first of all, Richard, apart from saying we've also got the fabulous Emma Tinson and Holly Parker in the studio, Richard, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Annette Andre about life, the universe, and what she'll be doing at the Birmingham Comic Con or Birmingham Convention, I think, or the NEC on November the 22nd?
Let's start with that. So when are you off to Birmingham and what are you up to?
There's the show, the memorabilia show.
Memorabilia, collector mania. Yes.
Nostalgia, whatever they call it here, I'm not sure. The NEC, it's the weekend of the 22nd, the Saturday and the Sunday, and we go and we're there, and a whole lot of people will be there, guests and, all that sort of thing.
Of course, you combined this with signing, you were at Westminster. You were doing Westminster earlier in the year.
I did.
Was great from there. I often think when you're doing that, are there sometimes, what's the feeling from your side as somebody, and you're getting a lot of love from fans? I mean, and obviously, Richard, you're a veteran, I think, to be said, in the kindest possible sense, of conventions and events and all sorts of scenarios, etc. Do they queue peaceably? Are they calm?
Absolutely lovely. I mean, you'd think, oh my goodness, but they're really lovely. They love to come and they love to talk to you and ask you questions. And quite often, they know more about the episode or the series than you do, because I don't remember a lot of them. And they tell me, you filmed that in such and such a street, and you were driving, you were dressed in that. And I thought, oh my goodness, whoa. But they're always very polite. And generally, really very nice. Yeah.
Well, there is a possibility, of course, that we might... in fact, Holly, you also experienced your first convention for some time dressed as a Salvador Dali individual, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. That was, May. I dressed up as the face of Mae West.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
That's got to be another first, Richard, surely, in terms of the face of Mae West.
I'll have to find some.
Oh, yeah.
I have to show you. But nobody knew who I was, which was a bit disappointing.
Oh, yes.
But
why did you do the, will you come up and see me sometime? About that one?
No, actually, I should have. Thinking about it, they would have got it from that, but
that's
no.
Right.
Never mind. Let's move on. Emma, have you got questions you want to put to Richard about SFX magazine? Because I can see himself sitting there. Hang on, Mae West, what the heck? Where are we going?
I've got one question already, and this is going to seem really stupid, but what does FSX... SFX mean? Because I assumed originally that it was science fiction something, but what is the X?
There's a tricky one. At risk of sort of coming all over S Club 7, the X can stand for what you want to. So the SF is clearly science fiction. The X is kind of mysterious. It could be anywhere you want it to go, or it's just a nice phrase. You know, it's I wouldn't look too much meaning into it. It's just the name of the it's the name of the magazine.
Okay, I like it. It's dynamic with an X at the end.
X-Files, that says science fiction. And the X does the same thing in our title.
Speaking of which, of course, Gillian Anderson has just actually written a book, which has been reviewed in the latest edition of SFX magazine, which is wondrous. Annette, your book will be published soon, I've no doubt.
Oh, I hope so.
No pressure, but, you know.
It's going very slowly.
We'll get that thing sorted. It will work through. But it's also fair to say, Annette, you had a look at the Ghostbusters special. We'll be speaking to Tara Bennett later in the production. Mm-hmm. But you're quite impressed with that as well.
Well, yeah, I had a quick look and I read that story about...
Harold Ramis.
Ramis, yeah. And beautifully written, really well written.
And that's the quality of SFX magazine. You see, you can use that as a quote now, I would have thought, Richard. Annette Andre, beautifully written, well written. Obviously, other science fiction magazines aren't there. But yeah, exactly. It's sorted through. The other thing, of course, that's quite interesting, Emma, is if you look at the cover of SFX, I mean, I don't think you can actually see it with respect to the one I've given you there, because it's the subscribers edition there, without a thing. But oft times, the F is sometimes occluded. You know, so it looks as though it might look like another word, which has got S and X in there. But that's an old story.
It does a little bit.
Just a little bit there with respect to.
Not so much this issue, actually. Yeah, you see the bottom of the F poking out, it's fine.
Best not go any further on that particular one. Anyway, we do have an English postgraduate student in the area with us. So, Holly, questions from yourself about SFX magazine, or indeed say something, maybe some advice that we could... I mean, because I'm thinking, Annette, maybe we could actually, come November 22nd, have some of our midweek drivettes here join you in Birmingham and actually sort of soak up that atmosphere.
That would be terrific. Yes.
I was going to ask for an autograph, but I might just queue up.
No, not at all.
Is that really sad?
It helped you through the 90s, Holly, surely. You know, Randall and Hopcock deceased.
And multiple times after that. I love it. Every time it's repeated, I'm just, yeah.
Just, in fact, the very sounds that we actually hear is the thing. The Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, just gives you a little flavour of it here. But we can't overexcite Holly too much at this stage, so we'll save that. We'll go out with that.
I have a question about that later, actually. Ooh. About the opening credits, or the closing. I don't get the hands. Why are there hands on the open...
The spectral hand of the ghost across the streets of London, surely.
Is it that obvious?
I'm very confused. I feel like I need to watch this.
Yes. Hands down,
I thought I'd start you off with the saint, actually, Emma. You know, working with the saint, and then you can take Randall Hopcock. Jumping in there, it's a bit like introducing you to the prisoner. You know, it's not going to work. But yes, I mean, how would you see the end credits, Richard, of Randall Hopcock? I mean, you know, the hands and the things from that perspective.
God, you're asking me that. It's so long since I've seen them.
Yeah. he's going to sort that thing out, clearly, because, you know, as we said, and the response, which I will quote you on this one, Annette, when we put the question, so Amelia Fox and Vic Creeves and Bob Mortimer. That's it, really. Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah. Did you catch the remake, Holly?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I think it's the whole... I don't know, because I quite like the idea of having this quite quirky ghost friend anyway who helps you out. I thought it was nice that they redid it, because there wasn't enough episodes of the original one anyway. Personally, there aren't enough of them. I didn't mind the remake.
Well, you know, it's important, that sort of message there. What were your thoughts, Richard, in terms of Randall and Hopcock? Because, I mean, very much in terms of ITC, it was the first... you could take the Champions as well, but it was explicitly telefantasy. I mean, it's the sort of thing which we clearly sort of said was very much, you know, to the fore in terms of that. So your thoughts on that one?
I don't know. I guess it was sort of show that at the time there was stuff around, and I think people were quite adventurous in many regards. If you look at a lot of the stuff that was being made, similar sort of era was quite even if it wasn't necessarily fantastical, it was kind of high concept. And I think the thing with Randall and Hopko was at the centre you had a very human relationship, so you could kind of get away with the more fantastical side of it anyway. So I think that was the kind of key thing there.
Yeah.
And just actually for the benefit of people who wish to actually listen to the show whilst playing their YouTube stuff, etc. Oh, I thought we actually had a theme tune there. I was actually trying to get one of the titles that we'll pull up for so people can actually sort of catch the whole sequence. But yeah, actually there we are. That's the spectral hand there. That's the creak that's come
and
through.
And the spectral sound.
Mike Cratch from that sort of. But it's actually just a series of slides. It's not the actual title sequence. But that
the
Emma
hands don't make
is
any sense.
Randall and Hopcock deceased. Look, there's Annette. There's the hand.
Oh, I
surely
see.
It's
so
the
that's
spectral.
Like a hand
the
print.
Spectral hand of the ghost on, of course, Jeannie Hopcock.
But he never left any handprints.
Oh, yes, I must admit, I'm just as confused.
How can a ghost leave handprints?
We had a couple of different
of titles within that. And clearly, the fact that, as far as America was concerned, this was sold to the States as My Partner, the Ghost.
The Ghost, yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, a little creak there as we move back to a range of other factors there. Sorry, we obviously sort of moved off to a completely different line there. More questions for Richard, please, Emma.
Yes, Richard, actually, I wanted to ask you, because I'm quite a big, Doctor Who fan. I think if I had to interview someone from Doctor Who, I'd get really excited. So what do you do? Have you ever got starstruck when interviewing someone?
I think it's more beforehand. When you go in, you're sort of thinking, oh, how am I going to interview this guy? And you get quite daunted. But I think the kind of professional thing kicks in, and you just tell yourself, I can't come out of this having just jabbered at them for 20 minutes and not have anything to take away, so you just sort of make yourself do it.
Let's just test that. Annette, have you ever had an interviewer who's just jabbered at you for about 20 minutes and you thought, what?
Actually, I think I probably have.
Yeah, you see, that's
yeah.
No names, but it does happen. And Richard's put a key point, important point on that.
Professionalism, yes, yeah. You need to know what you're talking
exactly.
about. Yeah.
I'm sure in journalism skills, you do get to don't jabber at
your
interviewee.
That's lesson number one.
Unless it's Jabba the Hutt, in which case it'd be Jabba squared.
Oh dear.
So that's good. Anything? Any other sort of areas of advice you'd share, Richard, in terms of the interview procedure, or indeed anything else you could help Emma on her joyous way of becoming an ace investigative journalist?
I just keep telling myself they're people too. Everyone is still people, however famous they are. I there are some people who I think if I was face to face with, I'd find it very hard, just because there are some people you meet and they are absolute heroes. But at the same time, you've got a job to do, so you kind of just do it, really.
Richard, I think it depends a little bit, too, on the person you're interviewing. Because there are some people who are very hard to draw out. And if they're not going to respond to you, must be a terribly hard situation. You can jabber at them, which you shouldn't do. But on the other hand, they've got to be able to answer you and give you some food to feed on, something to feed on. So
help them to help you.
Absolutely.
Most people you speak to are actually very good. I can probably count on one hand the interviewees who've been really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Then you get the ones who are wonderful and, they make you feel like, even if they've been doing press all day, they make you feel like that you're the one person they've spoken to and the first person they've told that anecdote to, and it's just wonderful, and you bounce off them, and it at that point it kind of becomes less an interview than a chat, and it's really good, and you often get really good material out of that as well.
Yes, and that's always pleasant for the person you're interviewing as well. If you can bounce around like that, it's really good.
I hope so, yeah.
Mm. Fashion, I think, is always important. I've got to excuse me of that, because once again, I think that the yellow trousers you're wearing in that particular scene, that's just truly amazing.
Definitely.
And looking at, of course, the supernatural experience of things going. Look, I mean, would you like to describe what we're seeing, Emma? It'll help, Richard.
A floating table, Richard.
That matches Jeannie's trousers.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
This is where the poltergeist is got me.
Exactly. Yeah. The poltergeist has got Jeannie Hopcock, and I have to say you're being very brave there, Annette.
Yes.
Very brave indeed.
I thought I was too, but having had personal experience with various ghosts, I was prepared for it.
This is the point, because we talked earlier that you have had experience of a ghost in Battersea.
I've actually had experience with about three or four ghosts. I mean that. And not just in Battersea. And I won't go into the details.
One was a
very hairy experience. The other was in Battersea. I think it was a she, I'm not sure, but had various moments with guests of ours and various people.
Was it not just a couple of people outside with a little electric thing actually?
Oh, definitely not. Richard, how do you feel about actual spirits and ghosts?
Well, working in Bath, you could have all sorts of things happening there in the SFX towers.
I'd say I'm sceptical, but I dare say it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Oh, I'm here to tell you, it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
And that's why Annette is the perfect guest to join us when Tara Bennett talks about her work for the Ghostbusters magazine in the second part of the programme. Gee, are we rolling out the line or are we not this evening? So brilliant stuff. We're still actually seeing the teaser trailer for this scenario here, and Jeannie is indeed leaving the building now. She's running out into the street.
In the yellow trousers.
You know, clearly the woman has got no shame whatsoever. And
shameless.
Exactly. Walking through that shopper. It's a whole new world. You can tell great excitement has been routine. I have to say, sfx.co.uk, you can access online. The current edition has been released. The decision to actually go with the regeneration side of things, Mike? I'm looking at Mike Pratt there, the opening title to Randall Hotcoke to see. So I'm multitasking. You see, I can't cope with that at all, basically. that is what you can look forward to accessing, Emma. You know, there we are. It's a whole new world.
Definitely.
Any other sort of views on ideas you've got in mind for SFX as you continue the evolution rather than revolution of the world's premier science fiction magazine?
Oh, I mean, it's just going to be a lot more cool films, TV, books, comics, really everything you need to know about science fiction.
Can I suggest it's almost perfect, but for one important sort of aside, really? There are two fine folk who I think need to be featured in full, one of whom actually wrote the episode Galt's Brain for Wonder Woman, and also wrote episodes of The $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman. We're talking, of course, Annette, about Arthur Weingarten.
Yes.
And, of course, the aforementioned Annette Andre. I think you should actually do a piece with Annette, finding out her particular interest in science fiction.
I think we could probably do that.
Yeah, would you be up for that, Annette?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what you call contractual details, putting the editor on the spot.
What about steamrolling somebody?
It's a way forward. That's the important thing. Richard, I'm going to pass Holly the task of actually throwing those last two questions at you now, because, you know, we've got news and various other things coming up in about 5 or 10 minutes or so. But Holly, last two questions from your good self to Richard Edwards, please.
Firstly, hats off to mentioning the Poddington Peas in this edition.
Yeah, the Poddington Peas.
Absolutely love that. I've got the theme tune in my head right now, which is going to annoy me all day.
I know you put it in my head as well. It's not
going to
leave, is it?
No, it's going to be there all day.
All day.
Sorry about that, but did you have fun talking to us today?
I did, thank you very much.
And can we look forward to talking to you again soon?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Brilliant.
Yes, you see, that's positive stuff carried the way through, keeping that positive theme going in every sense of the word. We actually sort of came in with, obviously, the blast of the doo-wop. I think we'll actually go to Neil Diamond now. Happy trails, Richard Edwards.
Thank you, bye.